public hearing on Senate Bill 943. And, Ray, we have a Dash 8 A18 amendments, and what do they accomplish for us?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Dash A18s declare assessments levied prior to the effective date of this measure lawful. They exempt an action at law challenging an assessment rate limit or basis by a commodity commission if the action was filed prior to May 1, 2001 from that lawful declaration. They provide for a commodity producer to dispute a commodity commission assessment if the assessment exceeds statutory limitations. It specifies conventions under which the commodity producer must file. It requires the Oregon Department of Agriculture to adopt necessary and proper uniform rules to carry out dispute resolution. It caps the total of all assessments levied against a producer during the assessment period at 1.5% of the total value received by the producer for the raw commodity. And in lieu of total dollar establishment, authorizes the commission to establish a total dollar value based upon industry average unit price.
Thank you, Ray. Ladies and gentlemen and members, these are the A18s. We do not have total and complete agreement on them from either side. So what the chair's intention is, as this is our last meeting, to pass these out, and we fully expect that we are going to conference committee with the Senate, in which we expect that we're going to continue to work on this issue. So at this time, I'm going to ask people to keep their comments to 2 minutes, okay? And I know it's going to be difficult for some, but Phil, come on forward if you would, please. For the record, you got to state your name.
I'm Phil Olson. I'm a farmer in Yamhill County. What 18 does is puts us virtually back to where we were before a lawsuit and before a test and before when the judge determined that we had to look at the ability of a farmer to pay. The way this amendment has come out is entirely different than 17 and the others that looked at the ability for that farmer to pay. What happens is, on this, they're judging last year's performance on this year's ability to pay. It's contrary. If you did estimated income tax this way, you would pay your estimates and you could not get a refund. Estimated income tax from Department of Revenue, the accepted standard for taxing, is to levy what happened last year because we think it'll probably happen again. And then you apply for a refund. This says we're going to levy like you thought you could pay from last year, but guess what? If you can't, we're going to keep it. That's what it says. There's no other way to get around it. And it just in the first section here, what we're saying is here we're going to forgive all the wrongs that I've ever done. I'm not opposed to that. I haven't talked to a farmer yet that's vindictive, but I haven't talked to a farmer who really understands the issue that says we should pay taxes this year and what we made last year. So what all the farmers I've talked to, and you know how tough it is to get farmers in here, Representative Krepp, and I think you've had some calls in your office indicating what this way is supposed to go, is that we will forgive the problems because there were some questions. But I know I have talked to representatives here or heard talk that there have been commissions that have levied incorrectly, and they know it now because someone finally figured out, oh, this is how you do it. And I haven't talked to anyone who said, look, we'll forgive that, but let's get it right. What happens here is going to allow it to continue again and again and again. And I would like to ask the someone on this committee to please tell me, what is the accepted limit that a person can tax my crop? I need an answer to that. I need a number. I don't want to say it's comparison to last year. I would like someone here who would tell me how much that I can pay on this year's crop. It may not be proper to ask questions, and that's fine. But I need an answer to that, and I'm assuming no answer means there is no upper limit to this tax. I know there's an averaging, but what do we tell the person who comes in and farms the first year? There is a 17 that's tolerable. This just doesn't cut it.
Questions of Phil, members?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm sorry that I'm
that's perfectly all right.
Late.
You came in just in time.
Thank you very much because, you know, I have great concern for this issue and great concern for the way we do business. And I think there's a responsibility for our agencies to accountable for their actions and living in line with the law and statutes, and I judge by the tone of this room as I come in that this is an amendment that is not making amends the way it should. Is that true, Mr. Chair, Mr. Olson?
Well, actually, no one's happy with it.
I see.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And so have we made recommendations for...
The recommendation, the intention of this chair is to pass this bill out with the A-18, and we are going to conference committee with the Senate to work on it further.
And is Mr. Olson agreeable to that?
Mr. Olson, I think, would like us to pass the 17 amendment, not the 18.
So is there a reason we cannot do that?
Yeah.
Representative Nelson? Representative Krupp?
Sure.
Would not it go to conference committee even with passage of 17?
Pardon?
Wouldn't it not also go to conference committee with the passage of 17? Because it's a different presentation that came to this committee from 18? I was speaking for the Senate.
Phil, is your question why can't we adopt the A-17 and the 18?
No.
Okay. What's your question again then?
There was, for the last several days, and I had a number of people, there are people on this committee that are aware that I had people come in and testify more on this at this hearing, but there apparently, we thought we had it understand, but we apparently didn't in communication. However, 17 gives a limit to a tax. This is not new conversation.
Right.
And if it can be explained to the people in the Senate why we should have a tax that has no upper limit to that farmer, and that is fact, that you could show me all the numbers on averaging and how it's okay to pay, Representative Krupp, but it's fact. And if someone's going to explain to that conference committee why we should not have an upper limit on a tax, then they'll prevail there.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Nelson.
Who prepared this -18 amendment?
Chuck Taylor from Legislative Council.
On behalf of?
On behalf of a group of people, including Phil, that were in Chuck's office.
It was 9-1.
It was a 9-1 situation.
That was my group.
And who was there, Mr. Olson?
Pardon me? I'm sorry.
Who was there?
There was the attorney of Gene Wilkinson from the Farm Bureau, John McCulley.
I just want to know.
Representative Nelson, we're going to lose our quorum very shortly. We're going to have to move forward.
I think it's very serious, Mr. Chair.
It is very serious. And
I
we're going to try and...
I had a House session that interfered, but I don't think we should be passing an amendment that is not, right with the individuals who brought the issue.
Are we in work session?
No, we're going to be shortly, however. Okay. Representative Ackerman.
But just for clarification, Mr. Olson, so I can see precisely what your objections are to 18, the -18 amendments, I assume you're referring to Section 2, where it appears that the assessment period can be established by the commission. Am I correct?
Representative Ackerman, that is correct. Assessment period, to me, means the period that is causing that assessment to take place, which is what is a year, but... The other officers say, we don't mean that.
Okay.
So you're right. It's that which the committee wants to do.
With no minimum or maximum time on the assessment period, I take it you're concluding they could assess you for 2 or 3 years back and carry forward, and that's been your complaint. Is that?
By the statute, way 943 is written, it cannot include the current year. It has to be the first year completed, or the first and second year completed, or the first, second, and third completed year. It does not include the year that I'm being taxed. So they're making that adjustment. That's correct on that basis on whether I have any money or not.
Okay. Moving on to the -17s, which I believe you favor. Is that right? And
yes.
I take it you interpret the language in that bill to limit the assessment period to 1 year and cap it at 1.5%.
What I believe that was accomplished, Representative Ackerman, excuse me, and Representative Krupp, members, is that the commissions can do whatever they choose to do using a 1, 2, or 3 year look back. That phrase has been seen a number of times. But for the protection for the farmer, just as this bill has allowed a maximum impact of 1.5% on the percentage-based people, even though the, that 1.5% is the cap, the most I can pay on this year's crop. That's all I can do.
Okay, thank you.
So, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Could you explain what the difference is between 17 and 18?
The 17s had a provision in it that allowed for a producer to only be taxed at 1.5% of his current year's production. It was unacceptable to the Commodity Commission also.
But Mr. Chair, was that not in statute?
No, that's the basis of Phil's lawsuit was based on the statute that was currently written, and it was interpreted by the court in that manner, and that's why he was successful in his lawsuit.
Okay. Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that that's the way the statute is written.
Ray, do you have a copy of the current statute?
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering if there might be others who may be able to testify to that question as opposed to having the chair act as a witness.
Might be a good point, actually. I don't know. Do we have someone, ODA? Okay. Come forward, please.
Dr. Lee.
Thank you.
I have a pretty good handle on how about this law says as well.
Okay.
For the record, my name is Susan Hiller. I'm the Commodity Commission Program Manager for the Oregon Department of Agriculture. ORS 576325 is the section that in subsection 2 references that the assessment cap shall not exceed 1.5% of the average unit price received by the producer on the farm after severance or in the boat after catch.
Susan, I'm sorry you read that last part so fast.
Okay.
I didn't understand you.
Sure, no problem. Subsection 2, the amount of the assessment provided in subsection 1 of this section, which is the assessment, discusses the assessment rate, shall not exceed 1.5% of the average unit price received by the producer on the farm after severance or in the boat after catch and before packaging or processing during the 3 years immediately preceding, unless a greater assessment, which in no case shall exceed 10%, is specifically provided.
Okay, Mr. Chair, Susan, what commodities does that pertain to?
There are 25 commodity commissions that are under ORS 576.
And that applies to every commodity?
Yes, Representative Nelson. The issue I think that you are maybe alluding to here is that up until the recent lawsuit, Olson v. State of Oregon, the interpretation used by the Department of Agriculture and the Commodity Commissions is that the producer means the industry average price. It was ruled in the lower court that that the court interpreted that it is based on an individual basis. However, the department and the Oregon Blueberry Commission requested that the state of Oregon file an appeal, and that appeal has been filed and is proceeding through the appeals court.
And Mr. Chair, Susan, when was that filed?
There is, I'm sorry, I'm not doing the proper thing here. Chairman Krupp, Representative Nelson. There is a time period, as I understand it from our Oregon Department of Justice, after the court has made their decision, I believe it's 60 days, and we filed within the 60 days. I don't have with me that date, but it was filed on time and filed appropriately as according to the what I've understood from the Oregon Department of Justice.
And Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Susan, is it not your understanding from reading statute that there is a limit to what you can charge? I mean, is there a limit to the taxing authority?
Chairman Krupp, Representative Nelson, yes, there is an assessment cap. And that's where I think there's been a lot of confusion. There's the assessment rate and the assessment cap. And we have interpreted the assessment cap to mean that it is 1.5%, that the assessment rate cannot exceed 1.5% of the 3-year industry average price.
Mr. Chair, could I please ask Mr. Olson, because I believe that's a different interpretation. And I think, to be fair to both groups, I mean, I think there's something haywire here.
Representative, I understand what you're saying. We are going to move forward with this. And we're going to do it in a timely manner. Right now, we're already 15 minutes past what I said we would go. If you cannot support the amendment, just say so now, because we're going to move forward.
I cannot support this amendment.
Thank you.
Chair.
I understand. And I understand why.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple of questions of the witness, and comparing again 18 and 17. As I read 18, there is the authority through the rulemaking process to establish an assessment period that could go 1 year or could go 3 years. Is that correct?
Chairman Krupp, Representative Ackerman, you're correct that the assessment period would be defined in the Commodity Commission rule as 1, 2, or 3 years.
Okay. And under 17, is it your interpretation of 17 that the assessment period would be limited to 1 year at a time?
Representative Krupp, Representative Ackerman, yes, that is correct. That it would just be a 1 year.
Right. And that's essentially Mr. Olson's position, as you understand it. Is that right?
Not speaking for him, but yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Members, the A18 amendments have an appeal process in them, whereby if you feel that you have been taxed incorrectly, assessed incorrectly, you can appeal to the ODA. That's what the bulk of the A18 is all about. That is not entirely what Mr. Olson wants. It's not entirely what the commissions want, because it allows, if Mr. Olson were to have a bad year, if his commodity commission chose to have 3 years of assessment average and he had a bad year, he could appeal based on a 3-year average. And then every year after that, he could appeal, because that one bad year lowers his average over the industry average. Now, they don't like that. He doesn't like it. I understand that. I think it's a fair compromise. Now, does it get us perfect to where we want to be? No. But I don't think we can get there to make everybody entirely happy. Representative Ackerman.
Well, I disagree, Mr. Chair, because under your scenario, under 18, you're going to have, I think you're implying that he could also appeal not the assessment, but the assessment period. And I think, as a witness has conceded, and as I agree, the commission under the Dash 18 amendments can do what they want to do and go back 3 years to calculate the assessment, whereas in A17, it's going to be all in 1 year. It'll have a cap and still has a very inexpensive and swift appeal process to determine if that calculation is correct, but that calculation would always be based upon 1 year rather than on 3-year average. And that seems more fair to me. I think that was the essentially the holding of the court, and I would favor the Dash 17 amendments for those reasons.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Thank you. I guess just a little confused where Representative Ackerman may see that the dispute, you know, if a grower has a dispute, that grower can challenge a 3-year period. What I read in Section 2, Sub 2, is a commodity producer can dispute the amount of a commodity assessment. And I don't see anything that indicates that the dispute can go beyond what the amount is. And I don't see that contradiction from what the witness had just testified from the commodity commissions.
Okay. Representative Nelson?
Yes, Mr. Chair, are we in work session?
No, we're not in work session.
I don't want to continue to pick on Susan. Could you give me one of those men, maybe Mr. Campbell or Mr. Nelson or someone?
Representative,
I can even take Dean.
Do you have a question for ODA?
I mean, I don't want to. It's not the point. It's just.
We're more than happy to compel them to come forward.
Well, because Mr. Chair, I just feel that we're doing something gravely unjust, and I want to correct this. And I want to correct it now. I have sat on this committee. I love every person on this committee. I love every person in this whole capital, you know, the whole world, whole state. But, you know, it's the people that are making it that are paying our salaries. I just spoke to a bill, you know, that said, you know, we're responsible to our employers and they're our taxpayers, Susan. And my concern is, are the commodity commissions working on behalf of the Mr. Olsons of the world, and are they in being because of the Mr. Olsons, or is it vice versa? Because here we have these, you know, this group that of 29 or 25 commodities that are great at marketing in some areas, and I've heard of gross, my ears have been full of gross actions in other commodities. I think the whole thing needs an investigation, as a matter of fact, and I don't care for the audits that have been done. And thank goodness, hopefully we're going to pass a bill that's going to do that. But I'm just saying, you know, I think the unequitable burden that we place on our farmers at times when, you know, it's unbearable. You know, we fought for the grass seed farmers. I just think there's something so unright and unwholesome about the way we're doing business that it seems like we could have come together and had a mutual agreement for the people that are paying their paychecks.
Representative Nelson, if that were the case, Mr. Olson would have never sued. There's a very strong difference of opinion between Mr. Olson and the commodity commissions. What we need to do is to craft a piece of legislation that is reasonably workable. These positions are very strongly held. I think it's going to be very difficult to get to total agreement. And we're going to have to make a decision here. The implication, Sue, what happens if we don't pass out a bill?
Chairman Krupp, if we don't pass out the bill, we will continue with the appeal process and try to have the courts understand what we interpret as the context text, as well as the agency's practical application of this statute, and we'll pursue that.
Okay. In the meantime, everything continues on status quo.
Everything continues on. We have the assessment rate and we have the assessment cap.
Mr. Chairman, I think the state did.
Come forward. You got to come forward, Phil. Thank you.
The state did file a paper. Just so you know, they don't plan to have it going forward. They have no intention to do what that judge said. They asked for a stay of action on that because they do not want to make the change that the judge told them to do. That came into our office about 4 days ago. They asked for a stay. Please don't make us do this. Here's why. Because we have something in there called 943 that's going to let us do what we want to do, so don't let's start it now. And I believe what they will do is they will drop that appeal because they do not want the precedent.
Okay, thank you. All right, Sue, thank you. We have three other people signed up for testimony. We're going to take short testimony from each of them, and then we are going to go into work session and do something. Either we're going to pass the bill out with amendments or we're not going to pass it out with amendments, where we're going to talk about amendments and figure out which ones we want to pass out. So at this time, the chair is going to call John Schoon. John, if you'd come forward, please. John, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you here. I wish it were in an easier circumstance, frankly, but thanks for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. For your record, I am John Schoon. I'm from Rickrail and had the honor of serving in the House for a number of years. And so I understand where you're at and what you're doing.
Pleasure to have you here, sir. Thank you.
I believe that there should be a cap on the sales price of the commodity that the individual farmer sells, and it should be for the year he sells crop. I can imagine that when the commodity commissions were first formed and they were given the permission to assess money from those producers, that this was very, very important to establish a limit, an upward limit, on what they could take. I don't think that's really diminished. I don't understand at all why the commodity commissions and the Department of Agriculture want to charge any farmer in the state more than 1.5% of the price of his crop, the sale price of his crop. That is detrimental to the individual, and it's going to be detrimental to the group of farmers that are in that position, and it's going to be detrimental to the Department of Agriculture, the state of Oregon, and it spells nothing but trouble for the commodity commissions if they do this. They're trying to remove the cap. That's what they're trying to do. And so I would urge you to either not pass out a bill and leave the cap in place as it is, or when you go to the conference committee, insist that the individual be protected so that no commission can take more than 1.5% of the sale value of the crop during that year. I think it's pretty simple. I'll just say one more thing.
Please.
You've all read, I've read, that once an agency is committed, it exists for its own existence.
Sure.
It serves itself from that point forward. And I think that that's where we're at. They want the money. They are not there to serve the producer. And so I just add that as an editorial comment, but I do believe that the 1.5% rate limit is essential, not only for the individual who would be assessed, but for the entire agricultural community and for the state of Oregon. Thank you.
John, quick question for you. Have you read the Dash 18 amendments? Do you have an understanding of what we're trying to do with the appeal process? Where if a farmer believes he's been assessed that has exceeded the cap, that he has an opportunity to appeal that and get a refund?
Yes. And the way I read these amendments, Mr. Chairman, is that the assessment period, whatever that happens to be, would be the rate would be limited to 1.5% of the value of the crop. So I think it does what I'm saying. The only question is, and perhaps your committee administrator or somebody can confirm this, is the only question then is the assessment period.
Right.
If that were a one-year assessment, it would appear to me that the 1.5% rate limitation would appear to that year, and it would do exactly what Mr. Olson wants.
So you would agree that there is an appeal process in place here with this language in the amendment, that even if it was a three-year period that and a grower had a bad year and his average went lower, he would say that he has been, in his own three-year average, he would in fact be taxed at a higher rate than the industry, and that he would have an appeals process to go forward and seek a refund based on it.
Yes, I think the whole key, Mr. Chairman, is the length of the assessment period.
Yeah.
If it's done as it is now, as I understand it, they do it on a yearly basis, and it would apply to the sales price of that crop. But that's something that I think that the commissions will determine, because the language of the bill permits them to establish the assessment period. And so it could end up assessing the individual, in other words, invalidating the cap by taking more than 1.5% in any particular year. I think that's sad.
Okay.
And so I'd urge you, Mr. Chairman, and such members as you have on the conference committee, to take the position that the individual does need to be protected for the sake of Oregon.
Questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Members? Yes.
Mr. Schoon, why would you be interested in this?
Well, Phil and I have lived close together for quite a few years, and I was his representative for a while. And I was coming out of the bank one day as he was driving down the street, and he slammed on his brakes and jumped out and said, I've got this bill that needs to be worked on because I think the Agriculture Department and the Commodity Commissions are doing something wrong, and we need to do it right. And I read it, and he's convinced me that he is right in what he is saying, and that's that the individual producer needs the protection. So that's why.
I believe I realize this. Mr. Chair, I just wanted to ask you that because it leads to my next question. So if that was the right thing to do, you know, by this cap and no way to invalidate this limit, same thing would have happened on the kicker, would it not? We wouldn't have had to put it in the Constitution.
I was on the committee that designed the kicker, so I've got a little personal, paternal feeling towards it, but I don't know whether it should have been in the Constitution or not. Maybe it can still be overturned and you can still gain access.
Well, Mr. Spear, my point is this, is that we, you know, it's a shame that we have to go that far to do what's right, you know, and it's the people's money to return it to them.
And Mr. Chair.
And this is the same way. It's just not every one of us. You know, it's those that are involved in agriculture working their heart out in an economy where I understood it was like a 3.4 billion dollar market last year that cost 3.4 or 8 billion to grow. So there's nothing. So how can somebody keep taking, you know, so much from so little and expect the so little to make it and to make a lot? So I just think that, you know, if we're truly here in a commodities, and I have great respect for most of the commodities commissions, and they're here and their purpose is to promote the very product, the very crop we're growing, working our, you know, tails off for, that we should have, you know, some restriction on the total burden, just like on any tax. We've been working now for many months to reduce taxes on all these citizens. You know, if we keep this up, you know, there's not going to be a need for land use or Farm Bureau or Department of Agriculture, much less Commodities Commission. So I thank you very much for being concerned enough and for your good duty you did in public service for us. Thanks for working on the kicker.
Thank you, John. Any additional questions, by the way? All right, thank you, John. Gretchen. For the record, I got to state your name.
From Amity, Oregon. I'd just like to say that I think it's intolerable that in a bill that some people can be levied one way with a cap, and that others, another group, is not treated the same way. It's not right. And I also would like to see, I don't understand the protocol, but being that 17 seems to be what we've been all working for so hard, and it's thought a few hours ago that we all had come to a great agreement and we had a real nice positive outlook about public politics, and I'm wondering why that bill, that amendment, can't be the one that goes to joint committee.
Gretchen, if the someone were to move that when we go into work session on the committee, and I have a feeling that Representative Ackerman will, and if it is successful and the A18 amendment is not, then the A17 amendment is the one that would go forward into the bill.
I see.
Yes.
Well, I'd feel a little better about that.
I know you would. Thank you. Doug Kramer. Doug? Welcome, Doug. For the record, state your name.
Doug Kramer, president of the Marion County Farm Bureau, farmer out of St. Paul, Oregon, grow cut flowers and berries. And everybody's right. We're not all happy with the bill. But I guess one thing I'd like to clarify here tonight is commodity commissions are farmers. And, you know, we see seem to be beating up on the commodity commissions like they're an agency or they're the Oregon Department of Ag, but the Blueberry Commission is run by farmers. And Phil is one of the commissioners on that group. And I am not a commissioner. I've never been a commissioner, but I am a strong supporter of our commissions. And truthfully, our commission system is not broke. And we need language in legislation that can keep our commodity commissions running like they are today. The Blueberry Commission, believe it or not, is one of the best run and been the most productive commission of all the commissions in the state. And you look at the blueberry industry in the state of Oregon where it was 20 years ago when I got involved in it to where it's at today, and believe me, it has grown by leaps and bounds, and it is tremendously successful, and the Commodity Commission is one of the reasons. The problem you guys talk about, the Dash 17 amendments, the problem I got with the Dash 17 amendments is it's going to treat the person that appeals, or I don't think that's the right term, but appeals the way the his assessment has been handled, he's going to now go by a different set of rules than everybody else that is paying into the commission. And everybody needs to be treated equally. What rules I live by and what I'm paying my assessments on is the same rules that every other grower in the commission should be paying their assessments on. And that's the problem I got with Dash 17. It's not fair. The person that appeals the way the commission handles it is going to go be treated with a different set of rules, and that's a problem. I'm going to go urge you to support 18, but I'm not very happy with them either. Thank you.
Doug, why aren't you happy with the 18? What is it you don't like there?
Well, because you don't have any of the terms defined. If the assessment period is going to be defined in a one-year deal, then we might as well throw out the two- or three-year averages that we fought for on the Senate side. If we can define the assessment period as a two- or a three-year assessment period, I guess maybe we can make it work. But
I think the
that's the problem I got with it is, what are we using for definitions?
Ray, we don't the Dash 18, in regards to Doug's point, doesn't change the part of Senate Bill 943, which is, I'm looking on page 2 of Senate Bill 943, section 3.
Mr. Chair, the Dash 17s and 18s insert language into the bill. They do not delete language in the A and Gross measure.
Okay, so Ray, looking at these lines here,
yes,
in section 3, sub 1, talks about industry average and can include prices calculated using 1, 2, or 3 year data. I think that's still in Senate Bill 943.
It is.
So we're not changing that part of it.
Right. The part that concerns me under Section 2 is if a commodity producer disputes how the assessment is levied and appeals it, he needs to be appealing it on the same rules that all the other commodity producers are paying their assessments on.
And that is a very good point.
As long as that's going to happen, I don't have a problem.
Well, we had
it. So assure me it's there, and I'll be okay.
I'm not a lawyer.
Not there.
Okay. But I will tell you that Ray and I had a conversation with the head of legislative counsel, Greg Chamov, on the sidebar of the House about 45 minutes ago or so.
And he agreed with our reading of that. It basically means that the appeal period of the individual grower basically has to be the same appeal period of the Commodity Commission, because they set whatever their assessment period is going to be, 1, 2, or 3 year.
Yep.
Okay. So I think that the way that the AA18 reads should satisfy your objection on that.
Okay.
It seems to be what Legislative Council's opinion is.
And I just
but I don't
want
have a
members of the
it.
Committee to understand that it's the growers that are the commodity commissioners that are setting those 2 or 3 year averages.
Okay. Thank you,
Thank
Doug.
You.
Any further questions, by the way? Thanks, Doug. Roy Campbell, Dave Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have spit wads up here. We have big spit wads.
Beauty before age, Mr. Chair.
Yes, 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 I know. Thank you, gentlemen. Welcome for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Dave Nelson. I'm the administrator of the Oregon Fine Fescue Commission, the Oregon Tall Fescue Commission, and have been assisting the commissions at no charge or anything else for lobbying services on this bill. I want to make that very clear. It's the worst pro bono bill I think I've ever written. In the process, I've come to dearly enjoy Mr. Olson and had a lot of good conversations with him. I think the commission support the Dash 18 or the A18 amendments. I think that, as you have seen tonight, probably and is seen all too frequently, that the best way to resolve the various disputes is to allow each of the commodity commissions to resolve them to the best interest of their individual commodity, and to try to put sideboards around that and say, within these guidelines, you do that. If you're going to have an averaging system, have an averaging system. If you're not going to have an averaging system, you have a specific assessment on the value of each individual sale. That's your choice. You go do it. I think that the bill, while it doesn't satisfy Mr. Olson or doesn't satisfy all of the commissions, I think does improve the sideboard significantly. Laws are always open every 2 years, and come back and readdress those issues. So we would support that, answer any questions, and get out of your way.
President Doyle.
Thank you. Mr. Nelson, can you speak to Mr. Olson's concern about not including the current year as part of the assessment period?
Mr. Chair, Representative Doyle, as I've looked at that, I'm not sure that if you subscribe to an averaging system, that means you're dealing with a period that's in arrear, and you try to bring it as closely to current as you can, but you can never be in the current year because of the definition of an average. You have to use 1, 2, or 3 whole units to do an averaging system. So you can never include the current year because you've only got a partial. So if you're going to if the commission's going to choose an averaging system, then I think by definition you have to use an averaging system. If you're going to use if you want to use a current system, the commission can choose to do a value system on each individual sale or a lot of sale. So I don't think you can quite get there without destroying the definition of an averaging system.
Representative Nelson.
Why not, Mr. Chair? I've asked everybody else this. I'm to you guys. Mr. Nelson, why shouldn't there be a cap? That fits basically that fits the farmer. I guess I'm concerned. I mean, it seems awful costly, and I certainly understand that, you know, the participation in the commissions, having been a farmer. I just wonder why we don't listen to Mr. Spoon, who's so wise, wisely made laws for us previously, and make life really legitimately more fair.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, Representative, former Representative Schoon is a very fine individual. He did make some laws I didn't particularly agree with either.
You're not like that kicker, huh?
But he made a lot of them. Yeah.
You got a couple right.
Yeah.
I'm starting to enjoy this. It'll stay a while.
It's getting fun. We might sell this tape.
I think that there is a clear or fairly clear cap, as any law is clear or fairly clear. It's the sausage process, after all. I think that the cap is clear. I think in the averaging process, you can't quite get to what Mr. Olson wants to get to, and that's to hold an individual sale or an individual year against an average and say, and that's what we're trying to do, is to get as close to being equity or equitable, an equitable appeals comparison of sales to averages. And I think that's where the difference in view comes, is that we're trying to compare specific sales to averages and then to hold that against the maximum limitation. And I think that the maximum limitation is clearly 1.5%. And it's calculated over a three-year average and as provided for in the statute. And Mr. Olson, Claire has expressed, and I haven't had any trouble understanding his disagreement with that. I clearly understand he disagrees with it, but we just can't get there. So we have processes that commissions, I would be totally happy just to give the whole problem back to each individual commission and say, you duke it out. I've had enough of it. That's where I think it belongs.
Mr. Campbell.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Larry Campbell. I represent the Oregon Berry Growers Coalition, and the real reason that I asked my name to be added a few minutes ago was in reference to some questions that Representative Nelson was asking in regard to the makeup of the commodity commissions. And Doug Kramer answered a portion of it by indicating that the commodity commissions basically represent the people that deal with those commodities. They're self-governing. All of the members of the commodity commissions are people who are in the process. Representative Nelson, I'd point out that Phil Olson is a very honorable man, but his position on the Blueberry Commission is as one of the commissioners, and his personal position regarding this issue is the only one of that commission that feels the way he does. Our real concern here is that this lawsuit has put a cloud over all the commodity commissions, not just the Blueberry Commodity Commission. I would point out that, and I think it's extremely important to recognize that I could not support the Dash 18 amendments if there weren't a couple of paragraphs identifying that Mr. Olson's lawsuit has to be honored. And if you'll look at the language, I believe that you'll find that his lawsuit has been honored, because again, he's right in his own mind. He's right at this point in time in the courts, and he should have the ability to maintain his success in the courts until there's an appeal that either overturns or justifies his situation. But I'd like to point out that all of these commodity commissions are people of the soil. They're people that are working in the process every day. And so when you talk about them not being treated fairly, I would say that it's their own folks that are dealing with their own issues. And in essence, I believe they should have the right to make those determinations. I also believe Mr. Olson should have the right to disagree. And I might mention, I also work for the commissions, and Mr. Olson is one of my bosses. So I'll probably hear from him in the future.
Mr.
Yes.
Chair, yes, Mr. Campbell, I understand that, but I regret, maybe you've read all the testimony from the other individuals who were here. And there are other individuals who do have serious concerns, or individuals that have thrown away 100,000 pounds of product, but yet had to pay, on that. There are individuals with issues of, should the assessment be on what we sell or what we produce? And there have been issues of, I can't hardly, agree with this. We're all citizens, too, and we're all taxpayers, but it doesn't mean we treat each other apparently fairly or rightly, being Republican or, good Democrat. Yeah, I mean, so even within our own bodies, it doesn't matter whether we're all farmers or all whatever. It's what's, you know, right and about how we do business. We heard a testimony in here. I've got testimony from Representative Lane Shetterly that, you know, clearly explains, you know, why we even got to this point, because this issue couldn't be addressed in the last legislature with some kind of harmony and, you know, desire to pull together. So, I mean, I'm just, all I'm saying is there, it may be, you know, all farmers in it, we're all taxpayers, but we don't agree. I mean, here's our individuals that feel that, you know, Mr. Olson's situation is like theirs, but are hesitant to come forward for fear that, you know, life might not be as good as it was, you know, previously. So, you know.
Representative Krupp, Representative Nelson.
I'm just sad that we're here, that, you know, that there can't be, you know, an appropriate cap, an appropriate year, an appropriate type of assessment that you know, keeps these farmers farming. I mean, it's a club. If you can't pay your dues, you know, to your sorority, well, you know, I guess that we just get out. But unfortunately, I mean, when the going's tough and, you know, we're in war and we're Rosie the Riveter instead, you know, we don't have the money.
Representative Nelson, we have tried to craft some mechanism whereby a farmer who feels they have been taxed, assessed unfairly. Do we have additional questions for these gentlemen, members? Hearing none, thank you. We've tried to craft an opportunity for that person to make their case and be remunerated for any overage in assessment.
Remunerated?
Yeah, whatever. I think that while, again, this is not a perfect amendment, this is not a perfect process. And rarely in this process do you get everything that you want. And while probably none of us are happy with this, I am not. It's the choice before us, and that we will deal with shortly in work session, is we need to do something. And the question will be, what is that? So we'll debate that shortly. We have one last witness, Sally Miller. If you'd like to come forward, please, and share your thoughts with us. Welcome to you, Sally. And for the record, you have to state your name.
I am Sally Miller. I am co-owner with my husband, Rob Miller, of Mount Jefferson Farms. We farm in Marion Folk and Linn County. Representative Chair Krupp and Representative Nelson and committee members, I have one question, but I would like to just comment on the last comment of Representative Nelson. If this were a fraternity or sorority and we were paying dues and we decided we did not like to be a part of our organization and just go out on our own, we could do that. But unfortunately, Mr. Olson cannot. That is one of the tragedies of quote-unquote free enterprise. My question is, as you consider these amendments, ask yourselves about the appeals process. What is the guarantee that Mr. Olson or any other farmer appealing his assessment is going to be given any kind of a fair hearing and resolution when he has not been able in the process heretofore working with the Department of Agriculture and the Commodities Commission to come to a fair and equitable resolution of his overtaxation? So if we depend on the appeals process to give us the justice that we do not feel we have gotten, why is that a fair answer to the law we're hoping to remedy this situation? I don't think we can really rely on the appeals process. So as you consider these two amendments, I think we need to ask about the justice of that as well. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Sally. Any questions? Thank you. Appreciate it. going to close a public hearing on Senate Bill 943A and open a work session on Senate Bill 943A. Representative Ackerman, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the adoption of the Dash 17 amendments.
It has been moved, members, the adoption of the Dash 17 amendments. Discussion?
If I could just be brief,
sure,
about this. I think that I pointed out to the witness from the commission that the Dash 18 amendments still allow the commission to set a 1, 2, or 3 year assessment period, and that's basically what has led to the inequity as demonstrated by Mr. Olson, and which was validated in his court case in circuit court. The Dash 17, according to the interpretation I see it, and as Mr. Olson sees it, and as a commission representative sees it, does set up a 1 year assessment period, has a cap, which is at 1.5%, and sets up a resolution procedure in the event that there is a dispute regarding the assessment process. I think that's as fair as we can get. I think it's most that we can get today. It also has the additional feature, as does 18, of not invalidating his lawsuit, but letting it to go forward if that is basically his choice. I think that's the best resolution we can make tonight. It comes the closest to what the court has said, and I think it's the fairest resolution under the circumstances.
Representative Ackerman, the A-17, and I'm going to ask the two lawyers that sit here, because you practice in court, I do not. It would seem to me there was a certain conflict that would be inherent in the Dash 17 as opposed to the language of Senate Bill 943 in the A engrossed version, which allows the Commodity Commission to set an assessment period, whatever that might be. And if the Dash 17, if that language were retained, it would allow a grower to appeal based on their current year's production. How would that be possible to reconcile it?
Reconcile it with what?
Well, what would you compare it to? If the grower feels that he has been unfairly assessed based on a current year's production, measured against what? Against a commodity commission that maybe uses a three-year. How would you reconcile that in terms of being able to ascertain if, in fact, he had a valid claim?
I think we're talking about apples and oranges, because I think that there's less chance for a dispute under the Dash 17 amendment, because we're dealing with, I think, one assessment year. We're not trying to go back and average three and then have him come up with succeeding years where he doesn't get the price for his crop and the effective assessment is higher. That's what's led to the dispute. So I think that we have a very limited circumstances under which there would be appeals under the Dash 17s, because we have a discrete period, we have a cap, and there might be some dispute as to how he valued the crop or how the crop or the produce was valued, but I don't think we get into the type of problems that brings Mr. Olson and the commission into a court confrontation under the Dash 17 amendments.
So Representative Ackerman, if I were a farmer who had a bad year and I'm appealing under this law, in the Dash 17, I'm appealing on my current year, and I'm basing that appeal on a commodity commission assessment that may be based on a three-year average, I'm going to say to Oregon Department of Agriculture, as the procedure is going to be set up, that I've been unfairly taxed based on this current year's production, and they're going to look at that versus a three-year average, and they're going to say what? What are they going to be able to determine?
Well, see, I don't think I get to the point where you are in a three-year average under 17, under Dash 17, because we're only talking, I think, about a one-year assessment period. I can get there under 18, and then you're talking to litigation again, which he's already won, okay? So I think in order for fairness and simplicity, we got to go back to the Dash 17 amendments, because it's a clear time period, and the cap is the same, and the method of evaluating the crop is within a shorter time period, which is, I think, most relevant and most fair to the farm producer.
Representative Doyle, what's your thought on where I'm trying to understand?
I don't know if I could ever get to that point.
Well, I guess I deserve that, folks. I deserve that.
But maybe to help clarify a portion of this is that the looking at the Dash 17, so Section 2 allows the producer to dispute an assessment, and then when you go to when we go back three pages to Section 4, it talks about the industry average unit price, basically, that would be subject to the dispute, which could be includes prices that are calculated using a one-year, two-year, or three-year average. So basically, it does go to your point, Chairman, is that an individual who has a bad year can dispute a three-year average, and it basically tosses out the window any average system. So that was discussed by Mr. Nelson. And I think that is really the problem with the Dash 17 amendment, is that there will be that conflict that you have spoken of, that it's going to, any individual will be able to contest an assessment if it's not anything beyond, I guess, what they're yielding, in that particular harvest that year.
Members, do we have further discussion on the A17 amendments?
Mr.
Yes.
Chair, I certainly agree with Representative Ackerman. I mean, we're in a common sense logic mutual agreement on that, and it's right, it's fair, and I appreciate him having the courage to say this when, I'm sure that other members of the committee feel this, Magnus, it's wanting to move the 18, even though they're not the right, they're not right either. But 17 is more appropriate, and I think Representative Ackerman has certainly explained it well, and we should support it.
Okay. Hearing no further discussion,
just
Representative Krieger.
Mr. Chair, I haven't said a word all night. I've been sitting here taking this all in great bewilderment. I don't like the 17 or 18s either. Mr. Olson prefers one, but probably isn't totally happy with 17. He might be, I don't know. Commodity commissions are by farmers, and I've always liked to leave things in-house for the people to take care of themselves. It isn't perfect. We aren't there. But I do not have the wisdom or the knowledge of their industry to make these type of decisions. I wish this thing could be put all, like I said before, put them all in a room with a lot of coffee, no potty breaks, and let's get an answer. But we're not going to be able to do that. So the 17's giving me some problems. The 18's are going to give me some problems.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying that I got here at 10 minutes to 6 this morning, and I want to bring this thing to a close, and I'm probably not going to support the 17th, probably will go with the 18th with the caveat that things need to be discussed a whole lot further when this thing moves on.
Representative Krieger, I'll be happy to assign you to the conference committee in the Senate. You'll have every opportunity to do just that. Any further? Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been sitting here, too, and I would ditto everything that Representative Krieger said, with the exception I will not support the 18s or the bill itself if you put me on the conference.
You're on the conference committee.
That's the wisdom of a legislator who has a history of this institution.
Well said. Would the clerk call the roll, please?
Representative Doyle?
No.
Representative Krieger?
No.
Representative Smith?
Excused.
Representative Ackerman?
Yes.
Representative Watson?
No.
Representative Nolan?
Excused.
Vice Chair King?
No.
Vice Chair Nelson?
Yes.
Chair Cook? No. Dash 17, A17 fails.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Is this appropriate to say I move to postpone indefinitely consideration of this House Bill 943?
Ray, a parliamentary question.
Mr. Chair, you have a motion on the table. Priority of motions, since that's the only motion on the table, committee needs to act on that motion. That motion is, I believe, to postpone or lay on the table indefinitely. I didn't catch the exact language.
Postpone indefinitely is the language you're
yes.
using?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and if I can borrow the representative script.
Please do.
Members, Representative Nelson moves to postpone indefinitely consideration of Senate Bill 943. Is there discussion? And your reason for doing so, may I ask, Representative?
You sure may.
Sure. And are you going to tell me?
No.
Okay.
That's like fair yielding, enough. You know, Mr. Chair.
Fair enough.
Certainly I will. Mr. Chair, I truly respect you and this committee and these men and women who've been before us, and I truly feel that this measure needs considerable work and consideration, and this at this time since there's not a truly either 18, 17, or 4 that anyone's fully satisfied with. I almost think it's a wrong now that we're committing. I don't think two wrongs make a right. For us to pass something that isn't right either. Look how long we worked on your lien bill for the grass seed farmers, and my gosh, look what we did on the biosolids and dropped that finally today because it was wrong and couldn't be, righted. So I don't think two wrongs will make this right at this moment, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. It's my move, and I'm sticking to it. Final answer.
Thank you, Representative. I do appreciate your heartfelt comments. We have a motion before us, members, and we have explanation. Is there any further discussion? Yes, Representative Doyle.
Thank you. I think we do have enough to keep moving on this bill, and this is something that included some very significant work on the Senate side, and such a motion at this time to basically kill this bill is unwarranted, and I think that we can continue working on it, especially with the Dash 18s and moving into conference committee.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
It's my understanding that we have a few more days to live, and there are committees that are still active. This bill, if it's worked out appropriately and properly, and with the proper due diligence and respect from the Speaker and the President of the Senate, that this bill can still continue to move forward in session. So why are we in such a push and shove to do this tonight at 7:25 when it's not right?
Representative Nelson, under the rules of the House and the committee rules, if it's postponed indefinitely, it cannot go to any other committee. It is here to stay. And if it's postponed indefinitely, that means it's dead because we will not reconvene.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I just left the session, and I where I heard you, I believe, are someone who looks a lot like you.
Lord, I hope there's only one of us. I really do.
Mr. Speaker, I will reconvene my committee at your discretion. or something very similar. So I know it does happen and can happen. So why don't we do what can be done? And give
okay.
these good people the time to make this right. Find out what's right, do what's right so it'll turn out right rather than something else wrong falling around.
Would the clerk call the roll on the motion, please?
No.
No.
Excuse.
Aye.
No.
Excuse.
No.
Aye.
No. Motion fails.
Chairman, I move the Dash A18 amendment.
Members, it has been moved we adopt the Dash A18 amendment to Senate Bill 943. Is there discussion? Representative King.
Thank you. I would support no motion without the commitment to honor the lawsuit. I also have spoken to the agency, and it's my my strong urgency that they drop any deal, that they take care of that business. I hope that they will do that. I'm supporting this bill to clarify the law, in part because I think it's too late in this session to clarify the commission structure. I do strongly support and would be willing to participate in an interim work group to deal with commission fee structures and review their mission. I think that Mr. Olson has brought up many valid concerns on fee structure, and I also think that there was some appropriate testimony on having the commissions be able to relate to their missions. And I think that we have, had them there a long time, and some of those markets have changed. And I think that that would be worth, at least a work session, and I think that a work group to be looking at that. If we had more time earlier in the session, I'd be glad to be putting more work into seeing if there would be something that could come forward. But I think that issue is so complex that it's the kind of thing that it really does need, time taken during, interim, as versus, what happens in the way and the speed of this building. So I will be supporting the Dash 18 amendments with those concerns.
Thank you, Representative. And for your information, I have directed the agency, Oregon Department of Agriculture, to convene such a work group during the interim to look at the entire structure of the current commodity commissions and what changes need to be made if there are. And I think that there is certainly some dissatisfaction out there. There is also some folks that they're pleased with, and it appears to be a case-by-case basis and a commission-by-commission basis.
Mr. Chair,
so that will be occurring.
Who is pleased, for the record?
I'm pleased. My
other than you, please tell me.
What about you ask?
I mean, you said there are others out there. I have not met one, Mr. Chair. Well, except you.
I think Mr. Kramer...
Mr. Kramer said he wasn't. He's on record. Mr. Nelson's on record. Mr. Campbell's on record. Susan, Olson, Ms. Miller. I mean, this is just ludicrous to me. But anyway, go ahead.
Thank you. Representative Ackerman.
No, I wasn't raising my hand. Okay. I was just waving, I think.
Okay. Member, do we have any further discussion on the motion to adopt the A18 amendments? Hearing none, clerk call the roll.
Representative Doyle?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Excuse me.
Representative Ackerman?
No.
Representative Hopson?
Aye.
Excuse.
Vice Chair King?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nelson?
Nay.
Chair Crook?
Yes. The Dash A18 amendments are adopted for Senate Bill 943.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 943 as amended to the House floor with due pass recommendation.
Members, it has been moved that Senate Bill 943 amended with the A18 amendments be passed to the full House with a due pass recommendation discussion. Representative Ackerman.
Yes, just briefly, I think that this is a very clever move by the department. In one hand, it allows the lawsuit to proceed, which I think that is fair, but it does change the substantive law, which means that it basically validates what it had been ruled illegal by the courts or by the circuit court. So to some extent, I think the bill embodied with the, particularly with the A18 amendments, is takes us back to square one. It's not an improvement. It retains the same inequity. It just provides a better statutory basis for them to do what they have been doing, which obviously results in inequities, as has been pointed out by Mr. Olson. So I'll vote no.
Thank you, Representative. Additional comments? Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree to a limited extent with what Representative Ackerman said, but I'd like to address another issue, the fact that nobody is happy. We obviously have at least two points of view here, and in dealing with these kinds of issues, it's not at all uncommon to have everybody walk away not happy. In fact, I would say when there are these kinds of issues, it is more common to have people all walk away unhappy, but agreeing to at least live by the rules. And I guess the bottom line to this is, I would go back to what somebody said earlier, I believe the commission should be making these decisions, not us, and I will be voting aye. I also will be voting aye as a courtesy vote, but that is not it, really.
Thank you, Representative. I appreciate the courtesy. Representative Nelson.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chair, I just came from a session where we voted to allow in rural Oregon, a site for, I guess, for income, income producing in areas called exclusive farm zones that mean diddly, you know? Well, the reason that Representative Butler brought it was because nothing could be done in any other way. And, you know, I think it is sad that, you know, this has happened, but that's exactly what happened to the Olsons. You know, and every effort they made, I have Lane Shetterly. I'm sorry that we have to bring in the president of the commission, and who has to, you know, be happy and act like this is right, and these farmers have to, you know, bear, you know, more burden, because it is in a situation, as Lane Shetterly said, that should have even been here. We're not doing right today. I agree with Representative Ackerman. We didn't do right 2 years ago, and two wrongs don't make a right. I'm sad. I'm very sad about this.
Thank you, Representative. Additional comments? Members, I believe this bill is an improvement over the current situation, because I believe that we do have an appeal process in place. I believe it's compromise. I believe it's not perfect. I believe that we do need to continue to work on this issue, which, as I have told you, I've directed ODA to do in the interim. I will make this commitment to my friend, Mr. Olson, and to Sally, given that you do not have faith in the appeals process. Things that are established by administrative rule are reviewable by the legislature, especially under a law that I got passed last session, my first law. And we have some new power over administrative rulemaking. If the administrative rulemaking that implements the appeals process is not successful, I will give you my word of honor, and I hold that very dear in my life, that I will come back and I will fix it, because I think it is a fair opportunity. If it does not work, I'll get it done.
Well, Mr. Chair, I hope you do, because Attorney Shetterly couldn't 2 years ago, and so two more.
And with that, Representative Ackerman.
Yeah, I want to comment on that, because I also see vast inequities here in the appeal process. In the amendments which we proposed, and we were back to A13 or something, that we had a very simple appeal process, but I was disappointed to not find its way through the dash or the A17s and 18s. It went something like this. Each of the parties would mutually select an arbitrator under ORS 34, I believe it is, and would arbitrate the thing. you could arbitrate these cases in 2 or 3 hours inexpensively, okay? But what you've done here is you've taken out the impartial arbitrator process, which would be cheap and not time-consuming, and you let who write the rules for the hearings process but the department, and the department is going to be one of the adverse parties to the proceeding. That's not fair, okay? And that's putting the fox back in the hen house, and that's exactly what this bill has been, or the Dash 18 amendments have evolved to. We have not progressed.
Representative Ackerman, I would say that under the bill that was passed last session, if I could remember the bill number, I would give it to you, but I cannot. My apologies. Any proposed rulemaking 49 days before its adoption, at the request of any legislative member, that rule must be heard in front of a standing or interim legislative committee. The law says that the rule and any public hearings must be made available for the perusal of the committee. They have to bring the rule in front of us, in essence. They have to justify the rule, answer questions. If we do not, the law says, if we, the standing committee or interim committee has the ability to make comment to the agency regarding the rule. We've never had that opportunity before. We've only been able to address rules to the Legislative Council Committee after their adoption. What is the practical effect of that? The practical effect is that if we as a committee feel that a rule is unworkable, and I have participated in committees that have utilized this new statute, that you direct the agency to rewrite their rule, and they do. So what I'm saying to you, if you feel that ODA is not capable of writing a proper rule, and that is the fox guarding the hen house, as you just stated, then you, as a legislator, have the right to ask them to present that rule in front of a committee before its adoption. And then you have the opportunity, as the entire committee would, to ask them to rewrite the rule to a more workable circumstance. That is a big step in direction. It does not get us to where some people would like to go, but at least it affords us some opportunity to have input on rules before they're adopted to try to make them better.
I think that might have some application, but I view it as an unnecessary bureaucratic step in trying to figure out what a simple due process, which was incorporated within our earlier Dash 13 amendment, I think it was, which just had a simple arbitration process that nobody could really challenge as to whether it was going to be fair or proper under the circumstances. I think it's inherently fair to let the department write its own rules regarding a hearings process when it is always the adversarial party.
Okay.
Due process.
Thank you. Representative King?
I just realized I left off part of my thoughts that I'd said before, just to finish that off, that I do think that the commissions don't seem to appear to incorporate different products and different grades, you know, in their fee structure, and I think that is part of what Mr. Olson's concerns are, and that's, you know, some of those kinds of structures I think do need to be put into that. I just don't think I can craft it this late.
Okay. Hearing no further discussion, would the clerk call the roll?
Aye.
Representative
Krieger?
Aye. Smith?
Excused.
Never. I mean, no.
Aye.
Excused.
Aye.
Never, ever.
Aye. Senate Bill 943 is hereby passed to the full House as amended with a due pass recommendation. I will be the carrier. And with that, I want to say thank you to all of you, and thank you, members, for your great work this session. This is our last meeting unless the speaker calls us back. We will have a party, I can assure you. And so stay tuned. We are sine die for the session.
Well,